This podcast is part of the Gonna Geek Network. The opinion expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gonna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GonnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness starts in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
It's body makeup time! Hello, I'm your host, Stargate Pioneer, and with me is the woman who has no idea why she's on the podcast with two guys that she is. Her name is Shannon.
Most of the time, no. Hello.
And also with me is the man who doesn't mind to be drugged. His name is Sean.
What's up, bitches?
And joining us today is another woman because Shannon feels a little overwhelmed from time to time with us.
That's right. My manliness just overwhelms. Ow! Up. Hey!
Her name is Sophia. You might also know her on Twitter as at Arissa Wi-Fi. How you doing, Sophia?
Good. Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Shannon, are you happy now?
I am, yes.
Okay, good. We have an equal ratio of guys always to gals on the podcast, so Shannon's happy.
Not that I can't handle you two, but you know.
I'm sure you can. So today we'll be talking Season 3, Episode 9, Ostinato in White. Just a reminder, you can catch us at GonnaGeek.com and go to our podcast page and find all the great ways to reach us. Just a reminder, we do have a voicemail line, 612-888-ARC-1, 612-888-2751. And this is just a little reminder to Libby at DiFi Down Under. You didn't send a voicemail in this week. What up with that? Come on. We want to hear your voice. Call in.
He wants to hear your voice because he thinks it's sexy.
He has to have something to listen to when he's thinking.
Don't.
Is it thinking?
Think. All right. So this
you do that, but anybody else?
Is it thinking?
Think. So this episode had a crew on it. It was written by Brian Q. Miller, who has Dominion fame behind him. He also had a couple of the best Arrow episodes that I've seen that he wrote. He's also big into Smallville and, of course, a co-producer on Defiance. And then it was directed by this guy. Have you guys taken a look at his filmography page yet?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. It goes way back into the 90s. We're talking stuff like Heroes, the good episodes of Heroes. And
don't get him started on bad episodes of Hero,
which is like seasons 3 through 5. And some people will say 2 through 5, but it's coming back and it's supposed to be good. So we're all great for that.
What's his name?
Oh, I didn't say his name, did I? No. It's Alan Arkush. And he is definitely a veteran of everything. And I'm glad to have this pair on this episode because episodes like this, the aftermath episodes, the episodes that after the big boomy things happen and you're gearing up for the next thing, it's kind of slow, drag out, whatever. This just had me on the edge of my seat the entire time.
This was an emotional episode.
It was, wasn't it?
I mean, everyone was crying, and I don't know if I like seeing Nolan, the drunk, depressed character.
This is the first time I thought we saw he was like, I don't know, human. Like, really, he, like, the things he does have to come out somewhere, and we
that it finally gets to him.
Finally find out where and how he deals with it, and that he thinks of himself as a grunt, not a general, that he's, you know, that he's basically like everybody else. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. He is directly responsible for, 30 deaths on his side, whatever it was on the other side, 5, 6, whatever.
12 guys.
An army, right? Okay.
Yeah, an army of 12.
Way to go, Rom Talk. Anyway, yeah, so he's directly responsible for a mass killing of his people. They had no chance to fight. He was a slaughter and
never made it out of the caves.
He's got to deal with that. I mean, even the father of Zero calls him a butcher. The butcher of Yosemite, the butcher of Defiance. I mean, at least he's not the butcher of nowhere, but he's got to have that on his conscious for the rest of his life, however long or short that may be.
Yeah, I mean, he should have just listened to Amanda, to be honest.
And how often has anybody said that?
No one ever listens to the women on the show.
Yeah, Amanda's been off her rocker from time to time, too, so...
Yeah, that's true.
It's not a binary thing. It's not
she was right about that. She was right about it was just too risky to go in.
It was a necessity, though. It had to be done.
Yeah.
And that's what he's talking about. I mean, in war, things happen in war that yeah. you're not prepared for. I mean, you are prepared for, basically, but crap happens. It has to happen. They had to go take the fight to him, so...
Yeah. There were people on Twitter who were questioning why Nolan accepted the strange guy so quickly, but you know, in the heat of battle, he helped them out and he seemed like he was good, and then maybe just turned the tables on them. But it's like, how can Nolan know? It was just too hard at like that moment that everything was happening.
Where at any other time he would have been suspicious.
Yeah.
Of a newcomer coming into town.
Exactly.
Through the mines, no less.
Well, he didn't know he was through the mines. He just introduced himself at the end of a massacre and the dude helped him resolve it. Yeah. There are no credentials that you can offer in that kind of situation to prove who you are. He just had to take it on faith that he was a human in there to help. But
he called him Tex.
I mean,
how's that be?
Nice shooting, Tex.
And to be honest, CCBB is quite the actor in the town of Defiance. I mean, he did turn on his own people because he saw the situation present itself. He did all the right things. If we didn't know as the viewer, we would have done the exact same thing Nolan did.
Yeah, that's true.
After what happened in the Niwa, I mean, that's a pretty elaborate plan.
Yeah, I was going to say, kill all my guys. And I'm the only one of my advanced party left. That's just good thinking on his feet.
Yeah. No, he has no one left to talk.
Mm.
So, to get back to the start of the episode, when the Indigene was killed, I thought, you know, that looks like Trenna. That looks like Doc Yule, but she's not really acting like Doc Yule. But she, I mean, there was a whole thing where last episode I swore that the castee that was on the Tox team inside the fifth column, basically inside Defiance, was Adina, which I still think might be. I don't know. I'll have to go back and look. But this was Yule, and you're like, Isn't? And then later you find out it is. Yeah, but she was killed. And then they played it up.
Not the Eagle.
They played it up because they get into the hospital or whatever, the doc's office, and they said, "Hey, Doc, you here?" And you're like, "Oh, that might have been Doc. Trenna died that way? That's not cool."
You're so confused.
And then she walked out, and I was like, "Oh, well, maybe that wasn't Trenna or."
And really, we should be suspicious, because how many times have we seen clones in this series?
Way too much. Everybody's a clone.
I think that's what we're going to find out at the end of the series. Everyone's been cloned.
I don't know. There were two things about that. One, I totally called it that it was last week that it was Kinsey was the Beast.
Well, got a question on that, but go ahead.
Two, I think Samir had some of the best geek lines before he died ever.
What's that?
Maybe it's a clone. Maybe you're a clone and this is the original. And maybe I'm like, they're making fun of us. You know, that's really what the writers are doing. They're making fun of us. Because they do exactly what we do. Well played, writers.
Yeah, exactly. Defiance writers, thank you very much for
smarty pants.
Smart asses.
Like SP, we know how to get them. We'll make a character, Samir. Be just like SP. Well, and come on.
Kill him.
Well, honestly, how many episodes did he last?
Oh, he was... Now, you want to talk red shirt. Now, we have defined CCBB as not a red shirt. Samir, total red. He was designed so that Doc could kill him.
I don't think he's dead.
I didn't get the feeling she killed him.
I think she just knocked him out. I mean, he was coughing, but I think she just knocked him out. Okay, I could be wrong. We'll see the body next episode, one way or the other.
A burning trash barrel. She's warming her hands over. How you doing? Just great.
Bio disposal.
Yeah, but she was anybody else disturbed by the way and then what happened? Like, she knew what would happen after the control rod was inserted and everything. And she's like, look, you want to live too much. Just lean your neck over or I'll snap it. Puts it in, and then Doc Yule is like, you know.
Robo drone.
Yeah.
I wondered about that. Why did she give up so easily? It's just the same questions I got about Berlin. Why did she leave so easily?
I don't think she did. I
hope that her master plan was that she knew that that was going to happen to her, and maybe she's taken that knowledge back and knows a way to counter it. I don't know if she's completely under her control.
I think she is.
Hey, Sophia, what do you think?
I think she was really scared. I think they're just showing how really scary the Omek are, especially for the Indogene. And I think she just didn't want to die at that moment.
It was stupid to go down there by yourself.
I think she was really controlled. I think she was controlled, and I think she knew that Kinsey was going to kill her.
Yeah, I think Doc's too smart for that whole thing to happen. She gets down there, she gets to the spores, and then she sees the lab in front of her, and it's like, oh, nothing good's going to come out of this, or whatever she said. And
she walks down those steps, and the only thing I'm thinking, isn't that where they grew Kenya?
They're using the same tank.
They probably did, yeah.
One clone after another.
Why not?
It's a cloning pod.
Got the stuff down there. Yeah, but I was giving Doc Yule a lot of credit. I figured that when she was doing the surgery that she had reversed hacked a lot of stuff that was going on in the Omek computers. And I didn't think she was going to go down there so cavalier, but she did.
I know. It was kind of stupid.
Yeah.
So we either have her completely under control where she's going to start doing... Well, no, actually, that she can't even do that anymore because she was supposed to be under Kenya's control, but Kenya's on ice, so she no longer has that issue.
How come she can't just take it off? Did Kinsey say you cannot take it off?
No.
No, she said, serve my best interests always.
So I guess that would be in her best interest.
So, I don't know, yeah.
So would her best interest be fighting the Omek daddy for Kinsey?
Because she didn't say, serve the Omek best interest. She said, serve my best interest.
Right, so always. Now that he's put her to sleep, you would think that if she's serving her best interest, she would be
okay,
coming after him.
Let's go back and talk about that, because we got in an argument a couple podcasts ago about exactly how did Stalma and Kinsey get up there, and it was VR. And all of a sudden, she's actually transported up to the ship by the red light. So
yeah,
by the tractor beam.
It is possible.
That was my big thing. And I'm like, okay, wait, foul. Wait, how did she get the hell back? Why is she... I'm yelling at the TV. I'm like, you said you couldn't do that. You know, so yeah, I was upset.
Nifty little red tractor beam.
Exactly. I'm like, if you could teleport yourself up there with the little red disco ball, why the hell?
The difference was is that Tefkin didn't do his little clicking noise. Tefkin can do it.
See, now, if Bit could do that sort of stuff, way back in Tron in 1984, people could have gotten out of the Matrix.
Things would be different now.
Yeah. It would have been easier. He wouldn't have had to go... This is a big computer and destroy it with the disc.
Big door.
I mean, that is a big door. Love that
movie. Maybe he only has the ability to put somebody to sleep in there, but he can't actually control the ship.
You would still have to get the body up to the ship.
Yeah.
And they didn't with Stalma and Kinsey before.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think that Tefkin has that ability.
Think it's like daddy's toy.
Purple balls get it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see.
It could be.
I know he had red beams, so this
my purple plums are powerful.
Does anybody think Conrad is just a little off the mark for an Omek? I mean, he's like totally bought in hook, line, and sinker.
He's lonely.
With...
He's a lonely purple
dude. He's got his whole family up in the ship.
And I think he realizes that the reason that they were driven to extinction and the reason that they were in the situation that they are is because the Dread Harvest failed, for all intents and purposes. Because once their food left... You're a lion in the middle of the savannah with nothing around to eat.
Doesn't that sound awfully familiar, like the Wraith on Stargate Atlantis? That's the same. It's the same.
Same concept. Yeah.
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 Same thing. I mean, it's sci-fi. They could do whatever they want to with their own properties.
I mean, like if you want a winning strategy, theoretically, a winning strategy, look at the Borg. Okay. The Borg don't destroy, they assimilate. Right. So they basically make copies of themselves, and any entity that they run across that's significantly technological and intelligent, they just
copy them,
steal it. And now it becomes you. I mean, it's like the Mongol Horde or something. Join or die. Take your pick. I mean, that's basically the principle. That is a winning philosophy.
Not we'll eat you.
Let's kill all the civilizations until, you know, they're so messed
up. Wiped out. There's nothing left.
There's nothing left. Or... Okay, these are the only things we do, or this is the only food we eat, and now that they're gone because they left, we're screwed, and we have to go in the big Borg cube-looking thing. So I think he sees, to get around to my original point, I think he sees that the way his people have always lived is not going to work anymore.
Or he's just enchanted by the Magic Chivo.
The Magic Chivo has changed some minds in this show.
Yeah. And pancakes.
And pancakes, yeah. I mean... The dude makes pancakes, and suddenly she's like, oh my goodness, let's hang out in the love nest, you know?
Suncast in the chat said, he's got to have his pancakes. And Andrew Garza said, I thought the pill just gave Stalma in her in-head video, which, okay, so the pill is a difference. Kinsey didn't swallow a pill. That's why she was able to transport up. The pill prevents you from transporting, and it's just your consciousness that goes instead.
Ah, very smart.
Way smarter than me. Way smarter than Sean. Way smarter than Sean.
Everybody's smarter than me.
Way smarter than our normal argument here.
Yeah, so Olmec's just a little off, and he's like, oh, they'll treat me like a pragmatist. No, they're not. They're going to kill you. They're going to wake up and figure out how soft you are, see all this food that's laying around the planet, yeah, and go, screw
and they're
you.
Hungry, I'm sure.
Well,
I think he's trying to keep them. He's purposely not awakening them.
Well, what is it? Like 1,400 years? We did the math like last season or whatever. Like 1,400 years for them to travel over? That's a long time in between meals.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't go 3 hours in between me. I can't imagine going 1,400 years. I mean, ugh.
And that's a huge population to say, oh, I'm just going to tell you guys, hey, we're not going to kill your food down there.
You would be outnumbered.
But you can eat pancakes instead. Like, maybe like 10% will be like, okay.
With blueberries.
You know, what I find funny with Tefkin is that when they first introduced the Olmec this season, they're all talking about how terrifying as a race they were, how everyone that saw him come into town were completely terrified. Mm-hmm. And now he's walking through town attending funerals, he's going to the market, he's buying groceries, well, nobody taking back home to Stama.
He's not bothering anybody.
He saved human Trenna.
Yeah.
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 One, he's not bothering anybody. Two, Defiance has seen weird crap. I mean,
they're used to it, I guess.
Everything goes down in Defiance. So they're used to horrible after horrible after horrible. And one purple guy who has a bad reputation just isn't that bad right now. They had Rontok at their doorstep. They had Earth Republic last year. Every day sucks for these. They don't have a good day in Defiance. So, yeah. I mean, one purple guy wandering around going, I used to eat people, but I feel much better now. That doesn't bother anybody. They don't care. They care about Stama.
Oh, yeah. They're kind of upset with her.
They're ticked at her, and rightfully so, I think. And that goes to people's mindsets. Tefkin, whose people destroyed their ancestors and had Dread Harvests and everything, can walk around town freely. No problem. Stama and her husband blew up the arch, got pardoned for it. She returned to town, wasn't, as far as they're concerned, in any real danger. And they're pissed at her. I can see that. I understand where they're coming from on that. They're eating rats, barbecued rats around a trash barrel, and she's got this big, white, beautiful house and a handmaiden who tries to make her son as happy as she can, and we all know what that means. And her, serving her and all that kind of stuff. So she's rich in town, and yeah, I'd be pissed at her too.
Did you see the look in Dina's eyes when she was talking about going over to the Macaulay house to take care of Alec?
I was just thinking that, no, we don't need you coming in and interrupting us.
She could interrupt us. Yeah, exactly. She's like, my magic Chivo time with your son is being interrupted by you coming home.
There's a gun near the front door. He'll shoot you. Yeah. Don't come.
Yeah. I want him all to myself. See, there's a little bit of Treasure Doll coming out in her finally.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
oh,
I saw that.
Amanda, whenever she was being so rude, or rightly so, I guess, but I can't wait for Amanda's face when if we see Daytek come back. I'm pretty sure he'll be back.
Oh, yeah.
He's not dead.
No.
He's not dead.
He's got his charge blade. He can take care of himself, even with one arm. The hell bugs out there are not going to get him.
He was laughing.
You know, we didn't even see any hell bugs this year, have we?
Not that I remember. No.
I mean, I guess it's like zombies when it gets too cold out because they're exoskeleton. They can't walk around or anything. So
they're exothermic. Yeah. Holy crap, it's cold.
Maybe they're hibernating or something.
Yeah. No, they just literally freeze and they can't move. And then they thaw out in the spring. And then, oh, watch out.
Well, they're related. They came from frogs. So, I mean, that tracks.
Yeah. That's my point.
No, which, that's fine.
Clarence?
I haven't gotten any reference to Yule's frog love this year, so I'm wondering.
I haven't either, and I've been sad
about
that.
I've had a little bit of conversation with her. Clarence is his name.
Yeah, I know. I named him.
Yeah, but.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Trina back on the show. She's been doing a phenomenal job. I put out a tweet on the Voices of Defiance account saying she's been doing a great job, and a lot of people retweeted it and stuff.
She's
so
hot.
Yeah, she favored it. So, yeah, I really, Trina has probably the best acting. Well, I mean, you gotta.
Oh, man. We've had some fantastic acting.
This entire season has been.
She does need a snuggle. Doc Yule needs that thing out of her neck and a giant snuggle from Hair Braid.
You want to snuggle everyone.
I said from Side Braid. I want to go. We all know who I want to snuggle. That is why I've made no secret of this.
I mean, she's Yule's made some improvements. She's got the bling on the back of her neck. She's got glowy lungs now because, you know, she went down there with the spores.
That line was shut by this bling. That girl can have bling.
And Manic's just been preoccupied with the invasion and stuff, and Yule didn't mind because she used it to blow up stuff, so she's happy. But, you know, now I think after this whole Omek thing gets taken care of, I think she's going to need some braid time. Yep, I believe it. Snuggle with the braid.
See? Braid snuggling. We need more of that.
What do you think, Sophia?
Yeah, I mean, I think Doc deserves it at this point. Sorry for her.
Doc deserves a braid snuggle.
She does. Actually, I think Amanda does too. I think Amanda just needs to snuggle with anyone. She just looks so...
Amanda wants to snuggle with Nolan.
Tired this season.
I think her and Nolan have got to get together at some point.
I think they will.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
I want to see Arisa and Alec. They're so cute together.
Yeah, next season. I say next season, not this season.
Well, I will also say that I was completely wrong about Zero's father.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, that whole story arc and everything and that move through was very cool.
So heartbreaking.
I'm wondering, though, I mean, and he played it very well, and it's like father to father and all that stuff going on. But I am wondering if they're going to put Lucy in the game, because that would be awesome.
Lucy.
Yeah. The gun was named Lucy. Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Just put Lucy, because you two could run around and blow stuff up with Lucy. I'm home.
They Sophia,
could
name the gun if we got a Lucy gun in the game.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
That would be great.
You'd have to be able to shoot straight, though.
We can shoot.
Oh, these two are bringers of death now. What is your level in the game now?
Whatever.
Your ego rating?
It's 3-something.
3,000-something? Yeah.
Well, it's not anywhere close to hers. What are you at, something?
Yeah, that's because I'm an addict and I'm on all the time.
She's like, I have to go places to get well. I can't stop playing.
Well, now that you mention the game, I have to go now.
There's a raid I should be going on. Alcatraz is calling
When you mention the game, we have to mention what we do and who we are. We are part of the White Sack Angels clan. That's because of you, Sean.
Sackers.
We're sackers.
It's all Sean's fault.
Everything is all Sean's fault.
Everything is all
the sackers. I love my sackers.
Okay, so...
And we can shoot, and neither one of you... And you've never been on their SP with us.
No, because I barely have a rig that can do this. Let's face it.
All your gear, you can't come play the game with us?
Yeah, you can play it.
My gear does both.
Well, my gear would be able to do both.
I'm on a crappy laptop. Like, you can do it.
And okay. You haven't seen Craptastic game setup until you've seen Libby's setup, and she plays.
She plays without a mouse.
She plays without a mouse, man. That's
a touchpad.
Oh, click, 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 click.
Yes.
You play with a touchpad. Oh, geez.
She reached like 2,000 ego with no mouse.
Wow.
It's funny because whenever we're shooting, we're surrounded by bugs. I had to stand and protect her feet because she can't jump and shoot at the same time.
I was gonna ask about the jumping. So you guys have regular jumping contests, right?
Jumping contest? No.
No, you get on top of things.
I jump with the car. I do.
Oh, you do it with the car now. Okay.
I jump off everything. I try to get to high it off the roller.
Do you put the roller on top of a roller on top of a roller and try to jump the bottom one?
They go right through. They won't stay. Yeah. I can jump off the bridge, though. The Golden Gate
Bridge. I was going to say, didn't you put the roller on the top of the Golden Gate Bridge? How did you even get it up there?
Magic.
Voodoo.
Now, your character has to climb up the ladder that was hidden for most of my time playing the game. I didn't know the ladder existed.
And then you call your car and it winds up being on the top of the... Oh, for crying out loud.
But you got to call your... you got to be pointing a certain direction because if you're pointing towards out, your car falls.
It'll materialize and just drop into the ocean.
Dropping into the ocean. Water is not cool in the game because it's like... You don't... I played the game...
I find it all the time, though.
Long enough to know that if you are in the water, you're dead. Like, it gives you no swimming ability whatsoever.
You can swim. Things turn black on you.
If you start swimming into deep water, if it's just like a little shallow pond or something like that you can see across, you're fine. If it's a channel or a bay or anything like that, you're dead in 15 seconds.
You start swimming through it and all of a sudden the screen cuts getting black.
Yeah, or the freaking sea monsters come and get you. Have you had those happen?
I tell you what, I cannot stand, even in the game, for the hellbugs to chase me in the water. I scream like a little girl. Oh my god.
Take the controller.
I can't. Libby was laughing so hard at me the other day because we're shooting. I'm like, well, let's just see if they're gonna follow me. And they did. All of them. Oh, you see these little red dots following her Barbie all over the little water. It scared the crap out of me. I hate it.
You're such a big girl. Big powerful girl.
In
you.
More ways than one, but not with bugs.
So talking about hunting, Nolan shoots a raccoon and then realizes he's a little too on edge.
She's like, really? Ask him.
Happy hunting.
I rewound that like 3 times. Him? Who's she talking about? Him. Oh, the raccoon.
Oh, yeah. The raccoon. Or what's left of him.
Pieces of raccoon.
After 3 shots with a battle rifle, not much. Just a lot of red.
Somebody should have picked up the raccoon. It's got to be better dinner than a rat.
Oh, I'm sure like Votan redneck. This modified vittles right here.
I'm raccoon here.
So we've waited so this far and Shannon hasn't said anything about it. So I'm going to bring it up. The tattoos.
Oh, I was waiting.
Yeah.
I was waiting.
We were getting there.
We were getting there. Waiting. Okay. Well, we've gotten there. So come on. Let's hear it.
Jamie.
I don't think were they tattoos? I thought they were just like henna drawings.
Well, they were henna drawings because she went to the market to get ink.
Well, right. Yeah, but that could have been tattoo ink or like regular. I didn't know if that was like drawn on.
I don't think it's a permanent thing. I mean, yeah. Because she had the ink blotter thing
well,
in her
hand. Well, it's like one of those whiteboards at work. You know, you write up on it and then
you draw it and just erase her off.
You erase it and then it's still there like months, years later, the faint echo of what you wrote up there. And then it just builds up over time and then it's all just one big background colored mess.
Yeah, that one happened with her. She gets in the water too much.
Daytac comes back and he's like, what the hell is that? She's like, it's my Chivo tat. They were heady days. I don't want to explain it.
All right, here's a question. If I was asking this earlier, yesterday, if the Castathans are all based off their religion and their cultures, everything is white, why did they choose black as
mourning?
Mourning.
I
mean,
well, I know it's mourning, but that's a human trait. That's a human custom.
Being sad because someone died is a human trait? Even elephants are sad when their kid died.
Why elephants? Why'd you jump to elephants?
Just animals, and I read a story, all right? This is how my brain works. You guys should know this by now.
What I'm saying is that I understand why we would use black, but they've done everything in this series based on how, and you've heard Jamie talk about it, how based on that they don't want to have the human customs, that they want to have their own. So everything that they do is white, even down to the bathtub that they go into. So I just think it's a cool contrast that they have, but now she has black.
And the opposite of white would be, you know, because their whole white thing is
there are four lights,
light, cleanliness, and no. There are five.
Four.
I'm buying into it. There are five.
Four lights.
Just make it stop. There's five. We're talking about Star Trek Next Generation episode, which Jean-Luc Picard is being interrogated by, was that race again?
I want to say Cardassians.
Cardassians. I want to say Castathans, but it's Cardassians.
Or Kardashians.
Not like Kardashians.
They're being interrogated by, like Tadley, you see five lights on Tadley's hang. I was down in Beverly Hills the other day and I bought five, you see five.
It's like, just shoot me now.
I don't want to be fashionable. There are five totally Jimmy Choo lights. I thought that was shoes. They make lights now.
You're making my head hurt.
It's the way my brain works, y'all. Welcome to my world. No, I totally... Shannon's turning purple.
She can't even talk. Yeah, she's going after the purple rocks, right? The purple stones.
So I think with the Castathan thing, to bring that around, the Castathans, they see the light and white and all that as the purity. No, stop it. You spit Dr. Pepper all over yourself.
Dr. Pepper and casting and Sean don't go well together. I know from personal experience. A bloody nose, too, by the way.
And all of a sudden, you like to bring it back to the light.
You know, bring it back to the light. Well, the light. It's okay. Listen to her speech when she talks about, you know, the lower levels are the base and everything, and then the upper levels, the upper Lero, are the light, and everything is based on whiteness and light and purity. So when they're sad, when they're unhappy, when they're mourning, of course it would be the absence of that. That's why she was like, "I want the darkest ink you have," because they're in mourning, they're unhappy, they're sad. That's the contrast. That's why she used black ink. That, and it looks super hot.
Yes, it did. Sad dude. Side boob. I just think the whole episode was sad between Nolan.
I don't know. I wasn't sad when Kinsey was making out on Nolan. I was like, you lucky bastard.
That was like the one scene. Everything else was so sad.
That's all you needed.
And depressing.
That's all you need right there.
But even then, it was ruined by a growl. So
love you, Kinsey.
Just wait. You just wait till we get her back.
She's awesome. What are you talking about?
I am not disputing
her back.
That.
I question mark. I, you know, the way that people have left this season, this could be it.
Oh no, she's up in the ship in the steel hot pocket. She's fine. She's gonna pop out when the microwave timer cuts done, and she's gonna be great.
She's gonna be a Captain America, right?
Yeah,
regular Steve Rogers.
Ooh, he's a cutie.
Shannon would have been down with Haley Atwell when she's like, "Ooh, I'm just gonna touch his chest. I'm just gonna. Ooh, that's very nice." Shannon's like, oh, that's very nice. I like that.
I like it.
Reminds me of myself with my shirt off.
Please.
Maybe the scrawny one before he got the hot pocket tube.
Thank God there's not a camera on you. Back to the episode.
All right, so
I'm on my third Dr. Pepper. Can you tell?
I do think, going back to what I was saying, how sad I think it was, that the whole speech that Stallman gave at the end was pretty moving. Poor character, who's been through so much for her first night home from the purple love nest.
I think the two were kind of sparring back and forth a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Detected a bit of hostility in that.
I think not only does she realize that her position has been compromised. I mean, in more ways, I mean, she has no more day tech
more than
right
ever.
Now.
More than ever.
Right now, she has no day tech, no support system, no friends, no inner circle, and nothing, not even her son. All she has is Adina, which would be enough for me. Yeah, it would be enough for me. Just let the record show. But
she doesn't really have Adina.
Well, in the ways that I'm thinking of that are important, she has Adina. But I think...
In what ways are you... No, you know what? I don't know.
Naked tub time.
No, never mind. I don't want to know. I walked into that one.
That's the only thing. Seriously?
She has,
how long have you known me?
She has Tefkin. That's the only one she has. That's the only friend-like person she has in the entire town.
Yeah, and that's... I don't know. That's tenuous.
She knows better.
Yeah, I think she... At this point... Dude, I think you're totally right. I think at this point, she knows
better. But I don't think she has Adina.
I think she's always known better. I think she's been using Tefkin the entire time.
Well, they used each other for the... They both used each other.
For nesting purposes?
Yeah, too.
But
I think after she saw the ship, I think she really... She turned around in her opinion.
She knew her place, actually.
I think she was like, what the heck is going on?
Well, she knew after she saw the ship that she can't outsmart him, that he was such a bigger fish in her little scheme, and she had no shot of beating him, so she better play nice.
Yep.
So, Sophia, what was the best part of the episode to you?
Oh, wow, there's so many things. Well, I really did like the tribute that they did for the militia that died. That was really well done, I thought. At least, in some shows, it's just kind of like ignored, but I like that they actually showed that, and they showed the sadness and the loss and, how Nolan was feeling so guilty. I thought it was really well done. I thought Grant did a great job. And then I like that we found out about the clones and why Kinsey made them. Mm-hmm. When we found out that she was doing clones, I thought, oh, is she like making an army? And then when we found out that she was actually doing it for a hunt, I was like, oh, wow, that's...
An army of Yules. Interesting army.
Yeah, I'm like, what is she doing with
bring us side braid. Bring us side braid.
I'll have those little axe picks like little dwarves out of Lord of the Rings.
She's that the Uruk-hai. Cool.
Yeah, you didn't know, but yeah, she wanted to do that. Although, wasn't there a part where Kinsey was, I think it was when she was in with Nolan, and then she heard the scream and then she ran away. So it's not just Kinsey that is running around hunting these things.
Yeah, she's released one or a few.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it was she heard the growl and she knew it was Daddy and she was
caught.
Oh,
that's what it was. It was
I think it was Tefkin that he saw.
Yeah, it was Tefkin and
I gotta go.
I'm busted. You know, that's like a kid just rolling up in the driveway with his dad's car going, oh, dad's like sitting on the front porch. She knows she's caught.
Daddy was calling.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's what that
go
was.
Go to your room.
Go to your tube. Go to your hot pocket tube.
Speaking of Tefkin, I have a question. How come he didn't take out that rod thing from Yule. Do you think he'll do that for the next episode?
I don't think he knew it was there.
Oh, I think he knew it was there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she was demonstrating the control she had over, right. over her, so he knows it's there.
And I think it went both ways. I think he could control her a little bit, too. He just chose not to.
Yeah.
So
he wasn't actually.
I was like, hey, wait a minute. I thought you were like turning into a good guy. Like, why are you letting it go?
What is he going to do with those clones? It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't think he's as good a guy. I think he's just trying to preserve his new vision of the way his people could live, and he thinks Doc would be useful to do that.
But
for
it'd
him.
Be nice to have some food in reserve.
I think he's got plenty
just
of
just in case.
The man's a wicked chef.
Little Yule on the Barbie.
Yeah, I mean, he could.
Doc Yules or, you know, pancakes?
Either one. I think it'd be fine.
But it looks like if, you know, like what Kinsey was saying, how they feel after they hunt, it's like, you know, it's part of them, it's part of their instinct. And if he goes and takes a little piece of Yule and eats her, like, he might go off the deep end again. He could totally turn around.
He might be consumed by it.
Yeah. Because the way she was explaining it to him, you know, and how, like, she started off as, okay, I'm going to make some clones and just eat the clones. And then all of a sudden she went and she killed those three other guys. Like you said, it consumes them. So if he takes a little piece, he might not be able to stop. So that's really dangerous.
Like me around a Hershey bar.
Yeah, I was going to say me and Oreos.
You and chocolate.
You and Hershey. Yeah. Reese's Pieces with you.
Yeah.
I know you.
Yeah, Reese's Pieces. Yeah, that's like, that would be about the silly, because it's like, I'll just have like three. It's fine. And then suddenly I've had three handfuls, you know, and then suddenly there's like bag missing.
We keep a bowl of Reese's Pieces that all of us even carry. We all four of it dig into that bowl. It doesn't last long. I buy multiple bags at one time.
It's very bad. It's like, oh, we just have this bowl of crack here out in the living room, and we're just going to casually ignore it while we all eat.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
So what do we have predictions? So I think we're far enough along and we can give a little bit of predictions.
We have four episodes left.
Four lights.
Next week is called When Twilight Dims the Sky Above.
What is up with these titles?
They're into poetic license.
I had to look up Ostiano or Ostinato or however you pronounce
it. I don't know what it means. I meant to look it up, but I got distracted.
It's a repeating idea, a rhythmic pattern, usually in music. And I'm like, okay, so this was talk after talk after talk after talk, I guess. I don't know.
Clone after clone after clone?
Or it could be like a Battlestar thing. It happened before, it'll happen again.
Well, we are already on Earth 2 or whatever, right?
Exactly. but I don't know. There's a lot of ways they could kind of go with this, but the fact that they've kept that ship above orbit, like the Sword of Damocles, I don't think that is going to be an insignificant portion. So I'm guessing right now we're going to have to kill a bunch of them, Omek. So we're going to have to find a way to do that.
Of course.
Just to thin it out, because I think there's more Omek on that ship than there are people alive on the planet.
What do we think about Berlin? You think she's going to bring back help, or think she's just going to walk back into town saying, okay, I've changed my mind?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to see her.
Well, now she's going to find out that Rom got killed, so now there's no threat, so she can come back.
Wussy.
To a town that hates her?
There's no reason for her to come back.
Yeah, she can't come back and save the day.
Yeah, but we didn't have a good exit for her, so I don't think she's gone. I think she'll be back. I'm just trying to figure out why and what we should be doing.
That was just, it was a very strange exit. It was just kind of like, oh, see you guys. I'm in love.
Yeah, that wasn't enough.
This epic love of this random guy we just saw.
So here's one. We've lost so many characters this season, important ones and then side characters. Do we think we're going to lose any major big ones this season?
We already lost major big ones.
It's possible.
I'm talking about we've lost.
No, like Nolan.
Anyone else?
Or Arissa.
You know, it really depends on if they really think there's going to be a season four or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. They could end it any number of ways, and they could do some nifty cliffhangers, and probably will with it anyway. But I don't know. The original Doc Yule, I think, will die and will wind up with a clone next season.
I didn't think about that. I hope not, but that's a good theory.
Because they come out, Kinsey already told you that they come out like making jokes and cracking wise and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know, man.
They'll come out just like her.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you kill the original and you wind up with a clone who discovers new things and experiences.
But now you have multiple Docs.
And maybe like romances side braids so she's less twisted in a bun next
could be.
Next season.
Maybe she'll grow out some hair of her own. You never know.
Hey, there you go.
Can they grow hair?
She's a
only
doctor.
On their Chivo.
She can do anything. I don't know. Is she really an indigent? Let's check her out. There's only one way to figure it out.
Do the collars and cuffs match? No, apparently not. There's a landing strip. I'm just saying. At least you weren't drinking this time. You didn't spit anything all over yourself.
Trying to follow that up with my prediction, and it's just not a good transition.
He's like, there's nowhere I could go with it. Damn it, Sean.
Just not good. Yeah, so they're obviously going to go into space. They've done all that CGI. They're not going to let it lie. So the ship's going to, they're going to go back up to the ship again. I don't know if it'll be destroyed or if try to drive it somewhere else or maybe crash it into the moon.
You know what? I think.
What the hell would they do in the ship?
I think no one is going to discover that it's there.
He already knows it's there.
They know that there's a ship.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to try to take a team and go up there, whether it's to destroy it or.
You mean there's other purple girls up there who look like Kinsey? How do I get on that ship? Seriously. I got nothing else down here.
I got nowhere else to go.
What other reason would they have?
I'm wondering if Yul is gonna help Kinsey get out, because now she's under her control, and in her best interest to get out of that pod or wherever.
This one's Sophia, nice.
I thought of that in the. Of course, she can, but she's gonna have to find out that Kinsey's up there, so she's gonna have to learn that somehow.
Directions from her, she might go looking for again, or maybe she's telepathic.
It's in her best interest, it's in Kinsey's best interest, to release all the other Omek from the ship.
That's where I was gonna go with that thought. Like, if Kinsey gets out and she takes everybody out.
Right. Yul goes up there, tries to get everybody out, and then finds that Kinsey's up there, and yeah, okay. I see.
I think most of Kinsey's problems would be solved with a good solid snuggle.
That's your answer for everything.
Just with Kinsey.
Just with Kinsey. Nicole, just for you.
Just for you, Nicole. Yeah. I mean, seriously, no one has ever made him change the logo, and he's done it. No one's ever asked. I've been asking for several things, and I get nothing.
He even voluntarily, at the end of season 2, said, you know, SP, if this show actually gets picked up, because we didn't know it was picked up for season 3, if this show gets picked up for season 3, I'll do a new logo. I mean, he did that on his own. I was like, okay, you know, whatever. I can keep the one or get a new one. And then season 3 rolls around. I'm like, hey, Sean, you mentioned that you were going to do a new... Oh, no, I don't have time for that. I'm like, okay. And then Nicole's like, you know, we need a little purple on that logo. Boom, 15 minutes later. I'm like, come on.
It didn't even take that long. I'm sitting here watching him do it. He had started it before we even finished talking to her.
Yeah, that's true. I did.
The power of Nicole. Well,
You are one to talk, miss. I'll get a tattoo if we get season 4.
I will.
Oh, my. I didn't hear about this.
Outed you. Huh?
A tattoo for season 4. Oh, because your husband got one on a previous podcast, now you have to get one for this.
Dude, I already have a tattoo.
Yeah, but
I
not for a show.
I had one years before he did.
Yeah, but tell him what you're going to get.
A Defiance tattoo.
She's going to get a Lawkeeper badge if they get season 4.
On her chest? Where it would normally go?
I asked for on her left boob, but she is surprisingly resistant.
Hell no.
Why not?
Sensitive area.
I'll call you, my nickname for you could be BS, Boobstar.
Oh, you stop it.
Hold on, Boobstar. I'd change it in my phone and put a little logo on it and everything. Boobstar's calling. Hold on, y'all. I've got to take this.
Andrew in the chat said, Nolan is going arc hunting before the arc has fallen. I see. The Ark Hunter returns, and it is literally the only Ark left up there. So, yeah, that'd be cool. All right. You guys got anything else to say about the episode, Sophia?
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
I think we covered everything.
Sean, Shannon, do you guys have anything that
we
need
really
to
want to hear more of my thoughts?
Well, we're done.
Okay. All right. So, going on to a little news, came up to some ratings. Of course, we're talking about season 4. The possibility is Defiance going to get a season 4 or not that came up this week. And somebody put together on the TV series finale.com a list of all of the ratings of the shows for the first 8 shows. And this is only the 18 through 49 demographic, not the entire demographic. So, it's a little smaller than what we've originally stated, but there is a noted increase started at about 1.1. It's up to 1.2 when you figure in the Live Plus 7-day. So, and that is only in the demographic. It's about double of that when you consider all viewers, which I don't know if 2 million is okay. I know, like, I podcast on another show, Arrow, on the Starling Tribune, which can be found on the Guinea Geek Network. And the premise of CW was to get 2 million viewers a week on that. Now, the production value on that show is arguably maybe a little less expensive than the CGI intensive Defiance. So I'm not sure if 2 is a good share market for them to have or not. I don't know. Sean, what do you think?
Well, a lot of it, I mean, it's a CG market, but it's a lot of the upfront costs, like building the town and getting a lot of that stuff, is kind of built in. But there's a lot of makeup on this show and there's a lot of CGI, and I'm just not sure if it's worth it. But the thing about this show is it's got a huge women's audience, and there's not a lot of sci-fi that can boast that particular claim. I mean, it's not that women don't like sci-fi and everything, but this is very
it's
female friendly and female heavy.
Well, most of the main characters are female.
Yeah, and it's very well done that way, and I think that's one of the only ones that sci-fi's got like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's strategically important in that way. All that to say, I don't know if it's enough or not, but
I'm going to believe that it's enough because I want a season 4.
Well, I'll
think
say
happy thoughts.
The female demographic does play because CW definitely has a female demographic to it, and Arrow and The Flash are on there, and they bring the pretty on those shows. So if you have strong female characters that people are flocking to, I can see that happening on sci-fi as well.
Yeah, the pretty. Sophia likes the pretty on that show too.
So another ratings that I ran into was Defiance. It's getting a percent increase anywhere from like 80 to 120%. So it's on Friday night. We talked about Sci-Fi Friday quite a bit. It's on with Killjoys and Dark Matters now. A strong, strong Friday night lineup. But in this day and age, with delayed viewership possible on DVR, online, you can get it illegally through iTunes legally or Amazon streaming shows in general.
I think it's getting better.
Yeah. I think that the Live Plus 7 ratings are really, it's really imperative for Friday night shows. So if you're getting 80 to 120% viewership increases, that is great. I just don't know if there's a way to monetize it. So Sci-Fi is just going to have to figure that one out.
Well, hopefully it won't take half a year to let everybody, let the viewers know where we're going to get renewed or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hope
it took a long time.
And Sophia, you like the pretty? Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who doesn't?
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so I mentioned before, we are on a network, the Guinea Geek Network. There are other shows on there, like the Starling Tribune, like the Crimson Comet on the Flash show, on the CW show Flash. But last week was Guinea Geek podcast number 106, and Chris Farrell, for real, whatever you want to say his last name as, was sick for the week, or possibly zombified. So it was just me, Steven, and JS, and the three of us apparently had a great time. Got a lot of positive feedback from that. So you can go find that on the Guinea Geek Network. That is episode 106. And we talk everything from Star Trek to collector's editions, games, and everything else. It's a great geeky podcast. So there you go. Moving on to some feedback. Luca Corso gave us a great picture on Facebook. It was a picture of Stama getting her hair brushed, I believe, from season 2. Might have been season 1. And the caption, the meme on it was, "The other white meat." There you go. Thank you, Luca, very much for that. We also got an email from Castor Vega, and it was subjected Castanado in white. "Oh my God, they killed Doc Yule. You bastards. We found out what Kinsey really wanted with Doc's stolen genetic code. Dang, was hoping for a look into Doc's mass genocidal past within her genetic code. Nope. Kinsey was just hungry and created some zebra Yule cakes to snack on with her fancy Omek 3D printer."
This was an email?
Yes, yeah. It was.
Yes, it was.
And it was sent to you, so. On Twitter, we got a couple of kickbacks from Billy. Really great to have him on the podcast last time around. Billy, thank you very much for spending your time with us. Really, it was a fun time. And he had a couple of name corrections. So first, he said, correction, Lieutenant CCBB Gun, a.k.a. Christopher Beckman, hashtag I want my BB back, hashtag gone BB gone, hashtag defiance. Then he
has way too much fun.
I know. A few days later, He said, had another name pointed out, Lieutenant CC BB Gun / Christopher Tex Beckman. That's it. He likes the Tex.
Me too. I told him so. Not biased, though.
Rashonda Donaldson also tweeted us, and she said, just discovered your podcast. Love it. Although there are a lot more references to sex with aliens than I'm used to.
Well, yeah. Yeah, hot aliens.
There's a lot of sexy aliens. So, yeah, that kind of tracks.
Particularly on this show. And then, at Jesse Rath News also tweeted us and said, listen to Voices of Defiance interview with Jesse Rath. Absolutely loved it. Filled with such good stories and laughs. Newcomer to you guys' podcast. I'm now a subscriber to them through iTunes. You all are great. Well, thank you very much for subscribing. We really appreciate that. Hungarian Daydreamer, and I have no idea how to pronounce it, at SZILMARIL said,
Hungarian Daydreamer. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. The at Voices Defiance podcast with Billy is amazing. I will miss BB. Yep. And then Andy Migna said, the scene, talking about this this week's episode, the scene with three mirrors was nicely staged to capture both their reactions. Who comes up with such ideas? Well, that would be the Defiance writers, Kevin Murphy, and the gang. And they do a tremendous job with that. So we really appreciate that. All right. Thank you very much for all the feedback. We really appreciate it. You can catch us on Twitter. You can catch us at Facebook. You can catch us on our voicemail line, 612-888-ARC-1. 612-888-2751. If you want to send in an email, go ahead. That is stargatepioneer@gunnageek.com or feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. You can catch us there as well. And if you can't leave a voicemail, like you're international, like Defiant Down Under, go ahead and email me an MP3 file. We'll play that on the podcast. So next week, as I mentioned before, we'll be talking about Season 3, Episode 10, When Twilight Dims the Sky Above. We may or may not have a special guest with us next week, too. So stay tuned for that. And that's all I have for this week. Sophia, thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate you taking your time to be with us on the podcast.
Thank you guys again for the invite. It was really fun. And honestly, you guys have been doing such a great job this season. I've been looking really forward for each week's podcast. And it's like the minute you post it, I'm like, I have to watch it. I have to listen to it right now. Even if it's like 1 a.m. You've been really doing a great job.
Let's be honest, it usually is about 1 a.m. because that's when I can get to it. Sorry, y'all.
We're still playing the game around that time.
So that's cool. So yeah, thanks. And you're welcome back on the podcast anytime. Just give us a heads up and we'll throw you on.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, honey.
Shannon, do you have anything you have to say?
Come play the game with us.
Ah, yeah.
That's yes, play.
White Sack. Play. Rangers? White Sox?
White Sox Angels.
Angels. White Sox Angels. There you go. And as always, we're going to turn the podcast over to Sean for the last 30 seconds or so and just hope he doesn't make an FCC violation. So go ahead, sir.
In your future dealings with Defiance, just remember Chivo Landing Strip. That's all you need to know. Chivo Landing Strip.
Bye, y'all. See you next week.
Buzz the field.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesODefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. Swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com. Or send us a voicemail on area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Trion video game Defiance. Music titled After the Apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time and watch out for those hell bugs.
Hey, Sophia.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. And we're going to do the ultimate test. Sean?
Yes, I can hear her.
I can hear Sean.
Woohoo! It works! It's working!
He's like, I have not needed a Skype call.
Multi-track, dude. Multi-track. You heard the one machine. I had the other machine going, and then there's this machine, and oh, by the way, my Surface RT is actually streaming the chat window. So, wow. I'm cool.
Hi, honey.
Hi, baby.
I almost thought she was talking to me. I thought, I better shut up.
Shannon is the only baby for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're not honeys.
Yeah, I was going to say, we are completely superfluous to this conversation, sir.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, exactly. That will be the last time I address you.
Okay.
John, only Shannon. John, you can go off and do whatever. SB, just keep recording.
That's not normal, is right? That's normal.
Yeah, that's normal. You'll be happy to know. You'll be happy to know, SB, I do not have my harmonica in the room with me, so there will be none of that.
Thank God. Well, good thing I have that clip from the other night to put in the outtakes in.
Ah, you suck.
Is that Sean with the harmonica?
Sean is playing the harmonica.
Oh, sorry. I thought.
No, it's all good,
that.
Dude.
I thought you couldn't hear that. It's a harmonica, dude. How could we not hear that?
It vibrates sound.
Your wife is a lucky woman.
I seriously just came a little bit.
When did that happen?
Actually, there was a lot of requests for the recording for the pre-rolls for Legends. They're like,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Can I have that whole thing, please? I'm like, yeah, okay. There you go.
Well, we had a good time. It was like six people who just didn't give a about what we were supposed to be doing.
I had one purpose on that podcast, and that was to actually get the new pre-rolls recorded. I knew it was going to be trouble.
What podcast were you, Legends?
Yeah,
oh, Legends. Okay.
The five-year anniversary.
Yeah,
which
Beef and Op really don't like doing that stuff.
I know, so I knew it was... I knew Wing didn't have the balls to do it, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to be on the cast, we're going to do it. And Wing's like,
doesn't
okay.
Have the Canadian balls to do it. I love his accent, though, the Montreal.
I don't understand! Yeah, that's all he sounds like.
He's better when he's drunk, though.
Definitely.
We were all a little loopy, except for SP. We were all pretty much lit.
I had enough caffeine to light up Texas, though. I'm telling you. It's a long
we
week.
Could tell. SP, what do you think about that? I think it's great. Yeah. Yeah.
You guys are dicks.
That was the best ever, by the way.
Well, I was honored. I'm like, y'all actually listened to the podcast. And then I was like, now you're just making fun of me. I'm just going to go home.
Yeah, if we don't make fun of you, we don't like you.
Exactly.
I make fun of you all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Shannon makes fun of everybody.
Everybody. No one is excluded. Except a few.
But he goes by Sandrock. As a matter of fact, he already has his ATR 2100.
Do you work for Audio Technica, like on the side, or is it you just get a commission for every one of those you sell? Or?
Well, okay, let's back up a second, because I wanted a cheap, good-sounding USB microphone, and that was it at the time. I got it for $40, so, you know, hey, you can't go wrong with that mic.
I give you crap. It's the one Shannon's using right now.
Oh, you got your mic?
Yes, I like it.
Oh, yeah. No, she's been using it for the last couple of weeks, actually.
Awesome.
I got it since you sent it to me.
Yeah. She's like, SP sent me this one. I like it better. Let's use this one. I'm like, okay. Do you, Suncast, it's the 2100. It's the Audio Technica 2100.
AT2005. It's,
I didn't realize we're live yet.
Yeah.
We're live.
We're live on Mixer. Yeah. I popped it. Yeah. It's the 2100 or the 2005, the 2100. It's the same mic. It's just one's black and one's silver. And, yeah, Shannon sounds much better on it than the Behringer that she was using.
Not at the moment, though. I don't have a voice.
I tried the AT, but I still keep going back to my Sennheiser because I know how to balance it and I know how to EQ it. So it's like, I keep going back to that.
Yeah, and Suncast, in case you're wondering, I use the Sennheiser E935, but I have a mixer to go through. Sandrock will not have a mixer with him, so he needed a USB mic. So I don't know if we'll do a podcast or not, but he has expressed wishes to do so, and we're going to see if he can find a topic that he will stay on target with, because we all know...
Stay on target.
We all know with podcasting, longevity is key. If you can make it over that 7-episode hump, you're probably gonna last a couple of years. So
I don't know if it's 7 episodes. I'd say it's probably closer to 10 or 20. If you can make it 10 or 20, you'll make, because I've seen a lot of fade out at 10, you know, like, or they'll do a season or half a season and go, oh, this is work. And stop.
It's a bunch of work. Podcasting is work. It's a bunch of work and expensive. Can get expensive, but
it can get blindingly expensive.
Yeah. But if you're into making your life easier, you spend the money.
So, I don't know, man. I've spent $100 on a used mixer. It's been great for 3.5 years.
Yeah, but it. Okay, so you spent $100 on a mixer, $40 on mics and stands. The stands are probably more the most expensive part of your system.
No, the Sennheiser was expensive. I bought the Sennheiser now.
Okay,
that was $100.
So that's all expensive. Now, if you were going out and you're inexpensive, but if you were going to go out.
And the monitors were $150. Okay, yeah, it adds up. It adds up. I'll give you that.
My original studio, I think, was, what did we cost it at? Around $600 to get me up and started. And now you can do the same thing for the cost of an ATR 2100.
I'm thinking all this technical junk is like porn to you, right?
Yeah.
No, porn is still porn.
Porn, yeah. He's like, no.
Let's,
no, they don't have boobs. Yeah. So I'm fairly certain.
Just checking because I get to see your face while you're talking and you look pretty excited.
He gets flushed. Oh, mix minus. Oh, it gets me hot. Oh.
In case you're wondering, this is my ATR 2100.
Didn't need to see that.
He has a Ziploc bag fetish. That's really what it is.
In case the place floods, I want to make sure it's okay.
So I want to make sure it floats.
Sophia can't even see it. I don't think it's a good thing.
No. I can't see.
You're not missing anything. It's okay.
We've been talking about gear this whole time. Sophia's like, just Suncast start says, the
you always start small when podcasting. It's so easy to spend money. You're damn right it is easy to spend money. I have to physically cap it because otherwise you'll be like, man, those monitors at Guitar Center look great. I really need those.
I want the microphone.
You cannot have that SB7.
I want it.
Or SM7.
Oh, SM7B?
Yeah.
Nice. It looked like a 1940s microphone. Yeah,
it's the limited where it's the... It looks like a 1940s mic, but it's still got the SM7B guts in it. Oh my god, it was ridiculous.
Like $3,000.
It wasn't $3,000. I mean, you could get one for like $450.
No, it was $399.
$399.
Yeah, it was $399. It was on sale for $399.
It shall be mine.
No, what? You do not need it.
I didn't say I needed it. I said I want it. There's a difference.
I'm looking at Electro Voice RE320 package that BSW Warehouse has for $370, shock mount, mic, and pop filter for $370.
So, Sophia, what kind of mic do you want?
She's like, one that has voices on it. Right. She's like, I'm good.
All right.
Slight hangover.
No. What?
Slight hangover?
Slight hangover.
Oh, lightweight.
Lightweight. Did you just call me a lightweight?
Yeah, I sure did. You're down around me.
Tell them the story.
We don't need to tell that story when we're recording something.
Oh, yes. There's a story.
Oh, I've seen that B1 Suncast. Yeah, I've seen that mic before.
The story of you having one margarita?
It wasn't. Look, first of all, Jeremy made it, and you know he's a bartender, and he cheated. Second of all, it was a big margarita.
Okay, so everyone that's listening has to hear the story.
They don't have to hear the story.
He had one margarita. One.
Look, it had the alcohol of like three, and it was huge.
And my friend and I are continuing making some drinks in the kitchen, and
your
I look
friend,
over.
The professional bartender.
Yes, he makes great drinks, and you suck, because you had one. And next thing I know, I find you giggling in the living room, and I go in to see what's going on.
I was watching TV.
And it wasn't even on. You were staring at the TV. There's nothing on.
It was a hysterical show.
You can't. Don't call me lightweight.
You are lightweight. You are the same as me.
I could drink it.
You can't outdrink me. You've always actually been able to outdrink me. That's not an accomplishment. It's like saying I could totally slaughter my toddler at basketball. Of course you can.
As you're sitting on the couch, you start snoring through the conversation.
Yeah.
Lightweight.
How you doing, baby? Yeah. I'm a sexy beast.
As you're snoring, yes.
Thank you, Suncast. Yes, they probably did drug me.
I drug them all the time.
She's like, how do you think I get them to shut up? I've never seen him happier than when he has gear problems. It is $400 headphones.
They're not $400.
I wish I could have seen your face. SP, I wish I could have seen your face when Nicole was correcting you on the way to say her name.
Galicia.
Probably was the same Galicia. As mine. Like,
Galicia.
You know, That should have been you that she was correcting, because of all of the stuff that you have gotten wrong over the years, she just went for me.
I know, it was great.
I was a target of opportunity. Yes,
Mr. Shitako.
You guys didn't even stop him.
It
was like Shitako like 5 times.
He's like, Shitako. I'm like, dude.
Did you just flip us off?
He did.
Thank you. Thank you.
Shitako. All right. We're going to get going here.
Waiting on you, honey.
Waiting on you, sunshine.
You're like a little girl.
We got to watch that movie again.
We got to watch that movie. It's Ocean's 11, if for anybody who doesn't know.
Are you guys done? Can we get this podcast started now?
We're waiting on you, seriously.
All right. 3, 2. Voices of Defiance. Heck, I'll just email y'all. Dang punk kids and their fancy techno babble worse than that. Ebonox back in the 80s. Oh my God.
Ebonics.
Ebonics. Thank you.
Ebonics.
Ebonox, sir. What closet have you been locked in? Rocky. Ebonox.
Stucco.
Even I knew that. Ebonics.
Well, thank you, Sean. You're going to read the rest of the email, right?
Are you kidding me? I don't have that crap pulled up.
Unprepared. Unprepared, I say.
I claim to be prepared, but I do know how to pronounce Ebonics.
All right. Ostinato in white. Voices of Defiance number. Ah, heck, I'll just email you. Y'all dang punk kids and their fancy techno babble worse than that Ebonics back in the 80s. The at Voices of Defiance podcast with at Billy McClunk. At Billy McClain.
This is so going to go on the outtakes. What's great is I can see your face when you do this. It's awesome.
I'm just flustered today, so we're just going to leave it at Billy. It's amazing.
He's like, okay, I don't know where to go from here.
She's 21. She turned 21 this week, and we went out to a Mexican restaurant because she wanted to do tequila shots. And I'm like, okay, this is not going to be good for me.
Dad?
Because, well, yeah, she wanted her first ones to be with her mom, and of course I was invited, and she's like, yeah, I want you to do a shot too, and I'm like,
that's not gonna go well.
You know,
you realize, yeah. I'm allergic.
So I took a Benadryl ahead of time and was like,
prepared for the suck.
So the younger daughter is actually taking video of us, and we get it, and you know, with the salt and the lime and the stuff, and so it was a 3, 2, 1, ready to go, and I went down the hatch, did the salt, did the lemon, and that was it. No big deal. Took me about 3 seconds. The girls, and I know you can actually see me, Sophia, you can't, but they can see me. The girls, they were like,
just started sipping.
Like, no, just chug
it. Slam it.
Just slam it. And they're like, we can't.
Come on.
The gag reflex. I'm like, oh, God, we're going here now. Oh, by the way, I don't know. Did it sound better on your end this week? This is the cleanest sound I've ever gotten from.
No, it's markedly better.
Okay. Time well spent. All right.
Are you liking the board? You like the board?
Well, I'm still getting to know it. Maybe at second base level at this time, get to feel the goods a little bit. But there's a lot I still need to know. Like, it's got a LR button, which kind of.
I don't even know what it does,
but it's not a main, and so I need that. And then the AUGs I had a heck of a time cleaning up the sound from the AUG sends. I had no idea, so I went completely with the inserts, which I should have been doing with the other board, but I couldn't because that was dirty sound. And then I got, like, you have everything plugged into your stuff. I have now everything plugged into the board, so like the music that you were listening to was coming from the HP laptop. And I could hear it on the speakers, which I couldn't before. So it's
that was always weird how you're like, I can't do that. I'm like, I swear to you, you can. I do it all the time.
So I'm very curious how this board, in what condition this board is going to come back as, and we'll just see. I'm very hesitant to give it to anybody because I think it might be inherently messed up, but it might.
And like giving people problems or something.
Right. Broadcast has been successfully terminated.